12. Acts chapter 12. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. We're actually going to read a little bit into Acts chapter 11. We'll read Acts 11, then we'll read Acts 12, Acts 11, verse 27. And those of you who have young people with you, maybe split up and help them to listen and sit still as we talk tonight. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. These are new days, uncertain days, days of the early church in Acts. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar, a famine, a real needy time, a time where there was real poverty and problems and dying and things going on in the world. I can't imagine us trying to compare that with anything going on right now, can you? Anyway, great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability. Now these disciples were in Antioch. They were in Antioch, which was north of Israel. They were not in Jerusalem. The disciples in Antioch, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So the original church started in Jerusalem. And now that church is suffering, and the Christians in Antioch were so blessed that they were sending aid to the brethren, the church down in Judea who needed help, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now hold on a second. It only took me about 5 or 10 seconds to read that. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I mean, that would make front page news in every Christian publication. He killed James. I mean, like one of the major figures, one of the three that went with Jesus everywhere. Killed him with a sword. And he saw that it pleased the Jews that he did that, so he took Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, and it would be Passover for the Jews, but it would be Easter for the Christians, to intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, which is what you should do. This is the same Jerusalem church that Paul and Silas had gone down to Judea to help. And it says here in Acts chapter 12 and verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto them, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming. He thought, Harmony, come on up here and sit in front so I can pay attention to what you're listening to. He thought that he was dreaming, that this angel was doing this in a dream. He didn't know it was for real. He didn't know that this angel was really releasing him from prison. The Bible says, verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth them to the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, when he realized it wasn't a dream, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. The church was praying. They were having a prayer meeting in Mary's house. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel, a young lady, came to hearken, named Rhoda. So Rhoda comes to the front door, and she says, "Oh!" And she knew Peter's voice. Probably there was a password. What's the password? I mean, think about it. Herod wants to persecute the Christians. He wants to get rid of the church. He wants to take care of business. And so Peter's knocking on the gate, and Rhoda recognized Peter's voice. And so instead of letting Peter in, here's what she does. She runs back in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Hey, you guys, guess what? The man that we're praying to get out of prison, the man that we're praying that God will not allow him to be killed because James just got killed with a sword. And so they're assuming Peter's the next one to die. He's going to die the next day. And all of a sudden, here's this young lady saying, hey, guess what? God answered our prayer and Peter's outside the door. Verse 15, and they said to her, thou art mad. Did you know what, Harmony? Sometimes people don't listen to little girls when they're right. She was right. Acts chapter 12. Verse number 15, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. You must have seen his angel or his ghost or something. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. Now this is a different James. Remember, there's more than one James in the 12. And to the brethren, and he departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. I should say so. I love how it's written that way. I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him. No, you were supposed to have him. No, you're supposed to have him. Oh, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. And it says in verse 19, and when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the prisoners and commanded that they should be put to death. Harmony, he said, you can't find Peter? I left him here in the prison for you to guard. You can't find him? Off with your head. That's how serious this was. That's who Herod was. All the Herods were like this. And that's, you know, and then he went down from Judea and to Caesarea and abode there. All right, all of you, you're dead. And then he just went off and did his own thing. This is the time frame that these Christians are living in. Notice they're not meeting in an open... Peter didn't go to church. He didn't go to church to meet them because there wasn't a church property. He went to somebody's house that was maybe large enough to handle the prayer meeting. And he knocked on the door. That's what the church was in hiding. There was no freedom of religion for these people. But this was their life. This is just everyday life. One of our leaders in our church just got killed by a sword. They've thrown another one into prison. And this is just everyday stuff going on here. Famine just happened. Lots of issues happening here. Verse 20, and Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. So Herod stands up. He's got his royal robes on. I don't know if they were purple or what color they were, but he's standing up there, and of course they're all worshiping him, you know, and he makes this oration, this wonderful speech in verse 22, and the people gave a shout saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Worshiping him like he was a God. Verse 23, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost, just like in a horror movie. This man standing there and all of a sudden, boom, he just drops dead. And worms are, I don't know if they're coming out of his body cavities or what, but worms are eating him. That's how God thinks of somebody being worshipped instead of him. By the way, I want to remind you that God didn't need a political action committee or a Republican Party or anything to take care of Herod. Okay? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Herod threw Peter in prison. What'd God do? He just walked into the prison, hit him on the side of the, said, hey, come with me. Chains fell off, and Peter just walked up, and he thought he's in a dream. Come to find out, he was a jailbreak. God did that. As far as this Herod guy and his hatred for the church, God got rid of him. These are hard times. These are some strange times. But here's the verse that jumps out. Verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. If you read the book of Acts, every so often you'll come along that kind of a phrase. But the word of God grew and multiplied anyway. No matter what you just read, James got killed with a sword, Peter just about got killed, thrown in prison, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Folks, I want to encourage you that no matter how bleak it looks and how not so free it is, it doesn't matter. The word of God still goes forward. And how many of you have heard me say that usually God gets more mileage out of Christians when bad things happen than when good things happen? And God's word multiplied. Let me show you some other verses in the Bible. Go back with me to Acts chapter 8. Just a couple pages back. Acts chapter 8. They just had stoned Stephen to death. Acts 8 verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, starting a political action committee. They went everywhere doing what? Guess who's getting his way? God is getting his way. Did you know who is not worried about the coronavirus right now? God. You know who's not even worried about the American economy right now? God. His word is going forward. I told you already tonight that our church published a gospel presentation 10 minutes and 45 seconds long, and 90,000 people have watched it. 90,000. I have never spoken to 90,000 people in my life. I'm just trying to tell you that God's word will go forward. You don't have to get all worried about it when you're following the Lord his way. Now, but what if some of us get killed by the sword? You know what? That happens. What if some of us get thrown into prison? You know what? That happens. Notice it's not just in Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 17. Verse 19. Now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. So there was still the persecution of Stephen that was scattering people, and traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. Preaching the word to none but Jews only. But they found out that God was interested in more than just the Jews. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, the Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. How? Because of the persecution, they scattered. Wow. If you asked any one of us, if you asked me, I would tell you, well, we got to get together. We got to pool our resources together. And God says, hey, you know what? I think you do better when you spread out. Hate to say it this way because it's not going to sound nice, but somebody said a long time ago, Christians are kind of like cow manure. Sometimes when we get all piled up, we stink up the place. But when we get spread out, we do some good. I don't know if that's a real Bible analogy, but I never forgot it when I heard it. You know what? Sometimes when we get together, we start stinking up the place. You know what? When persecution happens and tribulation happens, all of a sudden all our petty differences just don't seem that important anymore. How about that? Because all of a sudden it's like, praise the Lord. The word's getting out, right? Instead of all the selfish bickering that goes on sometimes. Hey, look at chapter 19. Sometimes it's just old-fashioned revival, people getting saved and getting right with God. Acts chapter 19, these people, they're hearing the gospel, and it says here, verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. and the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver that they burned in the bonfire. Not sold at the garage sale or the pawn shop. No, they took all this stuff that was they knew was wrong, that was some kind of false religion type stuff that was just wrong to have, and they knew it was wrong, and they immediately got rid of it. Verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. They were having revival. So when I read about James being killed with the sword and the famine that just probably was such a hardship for everybody and the troubles, and then another leader, Peter, getting thrown into prison and having to have a secret prayer meeting and Herod, the crazy guy, getting dropped dead with eaten up from worms, and just a crazy time to be alive and to be a Christian, but the word of God multiplied. What's the bottom line? If speaking tonight as an American, I could go on and rant and rave about the craziness of people in this country. I am so frustrated with the politics, and I'm so frustrated with everything I'm so frustrated with the people that act like sheep and act like they're cows being stampeded because of fear. I'm so frustrated. Speaking as a Christian, I want to tell you something. It's happening just like God wants it to. And his word's going forward. I believe, wouldn't you agree, that there are more people reaching out and wanting to find some truth tonight than there were 6 months ago? All over. And so that leads me to my second point. Number one, in spite of trials and persecution, the word went forward. Number two, if you're a Christian and you're serving him and you're working for him, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I love this verse. I love this passage. We've read it a couple times recently, but 1 Corinthians 15:58. I'm going to back up and read and just remind you that verse 51 says we're not going to all sleep or die, but we'll all be changed. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, verse 52, trumpet's going to sound, last one. Verse 53, the corruptible must put on incorruption. Our mortal bodies will be changed to immortal. And it says in verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know why we're acting the way we're acting? Because the majority of us are scared to death of death. Christian, be confident. The worst thing that can happen to me is I die. And that ain't too bad, considering where I'm going. But thanks be to God, verse 57, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. You know, the Bible tells us that, and we sing that. Our labor, our witness, it's not in vain in the Lord. There's so much right now that is in vain. That's the sad part. I hope and pray that some high-ranking officials finally see everything that they meant for good and every good thing that they tried to do falling apart, and they can't stop it. And that they would cry out to a true Bible believer and say, I need help. Because everything I've thought was a good idea has been in vain. It's not in vain in the Lord. I told you about the 90,000 views that we've had on that video. With my own money, I went on Facebook and I tried to buy some advertisement. In other words, I tried, you can pay Facebook to push your video or your post to reach more people. Facebook said, your content is not verifiable. We can't allow you to have that advertisement. But you know what?
Since I tried that on Tuesday night, it went from 30,000 to 90,000. And I didn't even pay for it because they won't let me. Hey, guess what? God will get the word out. God is doing something behind the scenes. We just need to recognize what's important, what God wants to do. I love what somebody said when, back in Acts chapter 5, verse 39, when these Christians started really turning the world upside down and preaching about Jesus. And one of their leaders said, you know, if it's of God, you can't overthrow it. If it's of God, you're not going to be able to stop it. Amen to that. And you know my favorite place to go, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, and as much as both in my bonds and the defense of the gospel, confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What are you filled with? What does your heavenly bank account look like right now? In other words, what have you sent on ahead? Who is going to heaven through you? What fruits do you have that are filled because of him and the glory and praise and honor to God that you worked for his glory? Now look at verse 12. But I would you understand, brethren. Now he's writing this from prison. I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. You got to understand, I know you're feeling sorry for me because I'm in prison. I know that it sounds terrible, but I want you to understand something. It's actually caused the gospel to go farther. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Folks, do you understand? He's having a prison ministry. He's got a prison ministry. He's in prison, and God's using it to reach the prisoners and the guards. Many of the brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear, because they're seeing what's happening and they're actually becoming more bold. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I hope by now you're not too timid to share Jesus Christ and the gospel on your social media or face-to-face in person. I hope there's nobody in here that's not ready to talk boldly about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are, shame on you. And get right. Be bold. Come on, understand. This is our time. I'm sorry. I mentioned cow manure. Let me give you one more crude illustration here, okay? How many of you seen this in Facebook last week or the week before? You know those fast food napkins you had in your glove box? It's their time to shine. With our toilet paper sword, you know what I mean? Hey, friend, listen. Christian, it's your time to shine. I mean, this is it. This is what we trained for. This is what it's all about. It's your time to shine. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Listen to this, or look at it. 2 Timothy 2:9. Listen to what he says. I suffer trouble. Evil. I'm called an evildoer. I hate it when people call me evil. Oh, so offensive. Paul says, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But I love the end of the verse, 2 Timothy 2:9. But the word of God is not bound. Isn't that awesome? Paul says, I'm in prison, but his word's still going forward. It can't stop it. I love that. You can't stop it. I don't know. I think he might be saved. I just saw a little blurb. I loved it. I thought it was great that Mike, the MyPillow guy, said, hey, folks, my company is making masks as fast as we can. And Mr. President, I got something off the cuff. You mind if I read this? I think every American needs to read their Bible and pray. White House lawn. Hey, listen, the word of God is not bound. God has ways of getting behind the scenes and getting
to where people can hear the truth of the gospel. Now, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know all things work together for good. But James got killed with a sword. Yeah, and you know where he went right away? You know where he immediately went? Heaven. You know who James got to be with? Jesus. And I'm sure James said, oh, Jesus, missed you for a few days. You know? Back together. All things work together for good. It all falls out to the furtherance of the gospel. It's all in perfect tandem, just like he said it would be, just like he promised. It's not in vain. I said it earlier, we got these Bible college students. God messed up their plans. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a blessing to have them still able to do online classes. Now, I think probably there's stresses back at the schools they used to be at because they don't have kids in their dorms that they built and paid, you know. But there's online classes still going on. And the kids are right here in our church taking those Bible courses and sitting with young people and encouraging them. I just see so many silver linings. I see all of a sudden the whole world is learning how to be homeschoolers. Wow. Mr. Dave's like the most knowledgeable teacher in the whole Custer system right now. He's been doing that online stuff for a long time. Hey, all of a sudden, all these things that we think, they're working together. They're silver. More families are having family time than ever before. Right, Treg? There's more time with family now. Wasn't that your prayer request 2 months ago? In the most weird way, God's answering prayers. I just love it. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah, the world's going to pot. You know what? I know who's in charge. God's for me. So who can be against? I mean, really, if God's on my side, what's the problem? And then notice this. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can you be separated from God? If you're saved, you can't. We had a young lady get saved tonight. Nothing can separate you. Now listen, verse 35. Shall tribulation or distress, are you listening, Harmony? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can any of those things separate you? No. Did it separate James? Sword! Separated you from God. No, you didn't. You sent him right to him, face to face. There's nothing that can separate you from God. Once you're saved, you are forever in his observation and care. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. That doesn't sound very nice. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That doesn't sound very nice. No, humanly speaking, it doesn't. But verse 37 says, nay, it disagrees with what we just said, because the truth is we are not defeated. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things, it's actually fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. We're actually getting more done. Let me have you go back to Acts chapter 12, and then we'll go to Philippians 4, those two places we were in before, Acts 12 and then Philippians. Acts 12, verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and a Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work of the ministry whereunto I have called them." And so what happened as a result of all this persecution? God was sending out Barnabas and Saul to be missionaries, the first missionaries sent out from a church to go somewhere else. And God was sending them out. And we've heard about the first missionary's journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas. And there was this all blossomed from, oh, I forgot to show you something though. Verse 1. These are the men that prayed together, and the Holy Spirit said, "I want Barnabas and Saul to be sent out. The rest of you keep praying and fasting and staying home and working and ministering at church." There was this guy named Barnabas, and then there was a guy named Simeon, and he was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Manaen had been brought up with who? Herod the Tetrarch. Manaen had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Say, so who's Herod the Tetrarch? Herod the Tetrarch was the Herod that killed John the Baptist. When Philip's brother's wife, who he was having adultery with, and had that daughter dance for him, and he decided to pledge whatever, and she had, that's Herod the Tetrarch, and this is Manaen, who grew up with him as his foster brother, and now he's in the church as one of the leaders. You think about it. God is saving people in high places. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, we talked about chapter 1. The things that have happened unto me, that my bonds have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Notice how Philippians ends. Philippians 4:22. This is how it ends. And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's house. I got thrown in prison, so now I'm living in Caesar's palace. And I'm witnessing to these people as they come to feed me and take care of me. And so, by the way, I'm writing this letter to you. And, oh, by the way, the other Christians here, we're saluting you too. People are getting saved right there in Caesar's house, Caesar's palace. Listen, the word of God just keeps going. You don't lose, you win. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm going to show you some verses and then we'll stop. Isaiah 54 and Isaiah 55. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Your heritage is God will make whatever weapon that's formed against you to not be able to do what it was intended to do. Satan thought he could win by destroying Job, and he found out that Job just became a greater testimony. Isaiah 55, look at verse 8. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But God, without a Republican Party, will never be able to make it. Now, hold on a second. If you're talking as American, I can understand that. Because I think, honestly, when you talk about not in vain in the Lord, when you talk about we're winners and not losers, I'll just be perfectly honest. I think the Republican Party's losing big time right now. Huge. Not because it's fair, not because it's really their fault, but because it is. And the rich president cannot fix the problem. His tweets won't fix it. Now, over here is a Christian. Guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm on the winning side, bro. I don't need a Republican Party, bro. I don't even need a Bill of Rights, bro. I'm on the winning side. Take my head off if you want to, bro. His word goes forward and I win. But if all your life is about American Republican patriotism, boy, are you in a mess. There's going to be a lot of them doing this pretty soon, and I mean it. If they don't turn to the book, they will kill themselves. There's people whose whole life is wrapped up in the stock market in New York. I'm on the winning side over here.
I'm not an American first. I heard something today I've never heard before in my life. And I don't listen to him very often, but I had to leave church and go get the mail, and I listened to KOTA radio. And L. Rushbo, Rush Limbaugh, said, I'm worried. He's Mr. Optimist. He always tries to stay positive. He said, I've never heard him use the word worried before. I don't think Rush is a Christian. I think he is a respecter of the Bible. I don't think he's a Christian. He doesn't even believe the book of Revelations is supposed to be in the Bible. Mr. Rush and the rest of them needs to know this. They need to know that we win without red, white, and blue. It's a blessing to have it. And I'll show you some verses where we should pray for freedom. We should want freedom. But we don't have to have it to win. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And when he said it, there wasn't a Constitution or Bill of Rights. And after he said it, James got killed shortly after, a few years later. And Peter got thrown in prison, eventually killed, and so did Paul and the rest of them. But look at this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, let's be honest. A lot of Christians that are Americans maybe have had the wrong focus. And maybe they're going to lose their business, or going to lose their livelihood, or going to lose their home, going to lose their little kingdom that they've been building. But our Bible's been telling us for years that our focus should be on Him and what He'd have us to do. And so it's not so much that as Christians we're losing, it's just as Americans we're losing. And I've been saying for years that I'm okay with that. I'm not liking it, but I've known for a long time that when I read the Word of God and I read end times, I know that that's probably the way we're headed. Now here's the prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says the day of Christ will come. But before he comes, there's going to be a falling away and the man of sin will be revealed. It's going to get rough. Antichrist shows his face and starts handing out the mark of the beast and making people buy or sell according to his standard. It's going to be rough. But notice chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That should be our prayer. Lord, we want to be delivered from the evil. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. What if a whole bunch of Americans had called their leaders and said, stop voting for this ridiculous welfare package that's going to give us 2 weeks of pass, you know, it's going to salve our pain for 2 weeks. Stop acting this way. Stop shutting down business. We're not afraid to die. We're Christians. We're not afraid to die. We're not afraid. Look, stop all this silliness. Stop the fear-mongering. We're not afraid. Keep it going. Let's move forward. No. What if Christians had called and said, we're not afraid to die? How many people do you think that were not Christians called and said, we're scared to death. You better shut everything down. Lots of people. But brethren, whatever happens, I'm going to patiently wait for the Lord. Doesn't matter if I'm going to be in prison or in the hospital. Doesn't matter if I lose my house. I'm going to patiently wait for the Lord. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to pray that God keeps the evil and keeps it away, that I'm not handled by unreasonable men. But I know this. I got a book called Acts that shows me other people had to go through some tough stuff, and it was okay. It's okay. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged to report to you that even though it's been a real unusual month already, there's still missions in the missions fund. There's still money in the missions fund. The word of God is still going forward. There's still people getting saved, including tonight. Good things are happening. Prayers are being answered. Families are having more family time. And it's not all bad, and it certainly is not in vain. Praise God. Praise God. No matter what, the word of God is going forward. I would love it if Mr. Mike was to witness to Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, I used to be a dope addict. I used to be on drugs. I used to be a mess. God saved my soul. I've heard him say it. He sounds like he's saved. I don't know. Man, what if God were to do that? I said it. Was it last week I said it? It would be worth it if this country fell apart if the President of the United States got saved. I'd be okay with that. I would be okay with one more soul getting saved, as opposed to a country staying nose above water a little longer. I don't need the freedom as much as I want to see people get saved. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And God doesn't need me to have freedom in order for him to get the word out. And we've seen that tonight. Our labor's not in vain in the Lord. We are more than conquerors. We might get slaughtered like sheep, but in all things, we are more than conquerors. We win. We don't lose. We win. One day, you're going to stand in heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. What will you have with you? There are no rewards for being ultra-patriotic or Republican. There isn't. There are no rewards. You read the rewards in the Bible. They're eternal rewards. What will you have? I hope that you recognize that if you're a Christian, you're on the winning side. You don't lose, you win. You win. And God just paves a way for you to have a ministry that makes a difference, that makes a difference, that means something. And if God has to rearrange it because he doesn't like the way you and I have been doing it, fine, Lord, I want you to make it how you want it to be and help me to adjust to whatever it is you're doing. But you can see as you read these real life stories, they were praying, they were worried, they didn't know all the time how it was going to happen. And I mean, one of their guys just got killed, and so the other guy's in prison, so they're praying. And they're real people. Because when the girl comes and says, "He's outside, he's here," what was their answer? "I know what happened." No, their answer was same as our answer. "Can't be here. There's no way. There's no way God would really answer our prayer." We're just the same way. We got a prayer list, but we don't believe half the ones that are on there because we're the same way. No, God will answer. And maybe we lose some things, but maybe we see some prayers answered we've never seen before. And we've already seen some. I personally have seen some neat stuff happening behind the scenes. Neat stuff. God's doing things. It might look like he's not doing things. I think God's doing things. And I'm not saying I like for bad things to happen to anybody, but God's doing something. And be ready when Caesar and Herod and the others start asking questions. Be ready when someone who you never thought would ask you about salvation. Be ready to give an answer and be talking to people and be witnessing and sharing and posting and do whatever you can to get the gospel out. And go out and talk to people. Go door to door. Do whatever. Talk to people about the Lord. Hey, how about this? I was thinking about this today. You go to the bank, they won't let you in the door. They want you to drop something in the deposit box, right? How about, dear Sammy, Jesse, Kelly, thinking about you, praying for you. Just want to encourage you. You kind of look like a prisoner inside a glass box there. We don't have to say that. And leave something to read. Maybe something they can eat that's been packaged correctly. Dear Leah and Susan, encourage some people. Find ways to encourage someone. Be a blessing. Find ways to witness to them in odd, different ways. Look for opportunities in all this. Look for opportunities. Look for how God wants to use this whole thing for his honor and glory. Because, like it says in Acts 12:24, but the word of God, everything else seemed really, really unsettled. I mean, guys are getting killed, getting thrown in prison, and Herod's getting eaten with worms. I mean, it's just a crazy time to be alive. But the word of God is going forward. Is it? Or is your biggest worry, oh, I'm going to die. Yeah, you are. Everybody is. So stop worrying about it and start focusing on how to win, how to be a winner, a soul winner. Let's pray.